and he did a great job on it. I'm so thankful for Pastor Darrell. He's not here with us today, but I know he's going to go back and he's going to listen, and he's probably going to make fun of me that I was crying. But I'm so thankful for that man. Melissa and I showed up here in March with no plans whatsoever to attend. I was just curious because I'd heard that he was a really good speaker. That man, in just this short couple months, has week after week after week consistently brought just solid messages. And I'm so thankful for him in our life, because I've prayed for years to be back under a leadership like that. So he is a godsend to me, and he's a godsend to this house, he and his family. So you guys, let's give him a hand real quick. Pastor Darrell, we love you. All right, so today, week two of the Family Circus, we are going to talk about walking the tight rope. Walking the tight rope. It's going to be a lesson on honor today for those of you. Middle school, you guys are, if you don't know already, you're staying with us. So if you sent your middle schooler out, they're out wandering around the hall somewhere. Since I'm their student pastor, I figured this message would be applicable to them as well. So you guys just hang back. I'll take flack for it next week. I know you guys like our own thing, but let's hang here today. Ushers, if you see any middle school students running around outside, send them back this way, okay? So, walking the tightrope. All of us share something in common, and that's that we had parents, or still have parents. Maybe they've passed on now. Maybe they're sitting right beside of you today. But in some capacity, you all have had parents. And I guarantee you that none of them were perfect. Except for Cohen and Ava. You guys have perfect parents. You guys have the cream of the crop. Actually, that's not true, because if anything, the 13 years that I've been a parent, I have learned more these 13 years than I ever learned in school. Having children is like a reflection of yourself. There'll be times I've caught myself, especially with the older ones. Poor Cohen, he's such a guinea pig. He just catches it all up front, and then the ones in the back, they just kind of scoot by because, you know, he's the first one walking through it, and then Ava as well. But raising children is like a reflection, like a mirror just pointed back at you. There's times that I've caught myself getting on to them about things, and then I think after I've gotten on to them about it, well, they learned that from you. They're doing that because they see you do it. They're raising their voice because they see you raise their voice. So I've had to time and time and time again go and say, guys, I'm sorry, I didn't do that right. Forgive me. We'll figure this out together. So parenting can be tough. Raising kids is tough stuff. Family is certainly a reflection. I said this last week at the welcome. Family is a reflection of God's love for us. Second only to your salvation and your personal relationship with Him, I truly believe that marriage and raising children is just the best representation of Christ, God's love that we have for His people. I think that God made Adam, and not too long after He made Adam, He saw that he needed a companion. So He made Eve, and then it wasn't long after that that they had a couple kids, and that was the first family. So family is a blessing for sure. And I love the setup of family. Usually the way it works is you've got young children, and then you've got, you know, my age, who are children still but have children, and then you have grandparents, and then to add even more layers, you have aunts and uncles and cousins, and just from there it just spreads out. I really feel like it's designed that way because we need a team. There's at all points of life, you're going to need someone to look to, and you're going to need to give advice to someone. So it works as a team. I said we're talking about walking the tightrope. It's interesting to me that life kind of is, it's fashioned almost like a tightrope, where as a young child, you're starting on one end. I was going to have my youngest son come up. I'd have Cohen, but he's the same height as me, so it would really just it'd lose the effect. But my youngest child, he didn't want to come out of kids' church. He loves kids' church so much he didn't want to come out, and he told me, I'm not getting on that stage again. You made me go up there one time when you all were announced as family pastors. I'm not going up there again, is what he said. So we pray that God changes his heart and that he one day comes back up on stage. But life starts off on one end of the tightrope, at one anchor, when you're a child and you begin walking. And somewhere along the middle, most likely, you become a parent yourself. And then on the back half of the tightrope, you more than likely will become a grandparent. So those of us in the middle, we're constantly looking backwards and forwards, showing our children honor, or teaching our children how to honor while honoring our parents. It's a constant back and forth. So today I want to talk to you guys about honor. Honor is the tightrope that we walk through life. The Bible is very clear on the role that we play as children. And when I say the term children today, I'm using that not necessarily in the sense of a small child in diapers with a bottle. I'm talking about it in relation to two other people. You being the child, or I am a child of two other people, your mother and your father. So you're a child in here. It doesn't matter if you're 4 or you're 40, 10, 20, 8 or 80, you are someone's child. The Bible is clear on how you relate to those people who are your parents. And again, parents, a term today that I'm going to use. Most of us had our biological parents, but that might not be everyone's case. You could be adopted. You could have been raised by a grandmother or a grandfather, an aunt and uncle. There's even situations and with friends of ours who, just because they're a coach for a sports team, kids on their team who may not have a dad, look to our friends, their coach, as a father figure. One particular friend of ours, he grabs the same group of boys year after year because he knows it's more than coaching. He's being a father figure to these guys, and he's making a difference in their life, and it's wonderful. So when I say parents today, anyone, that term's really used for anybody in your life who's given you direction, who you've submitted to their authority in some capacity. Again, it's most likely your biological mother and father, but that's not always the case. Whoever took responsibility to raise you, whoever guarded over you, that's why we call them guardians. They're watching over you. Bottom line is, there is someone on our tightrope of life, there is someone who should be in front of you, who you are submitting to their authority, you're gleaning from, someone who's a wise counsel. We all should have that type of role in front of us on the tightrope. Just like Pastor talked last week, there were four phases of parenting, right? Said that there was the role of being a commander when you're really young, and then a coach, and then that moves to counselor, and then consultant. Just as there are roles for parents in those phases, there are complementary roles as the child, the supporting child role. So with a commander, there's the follower role of a child. With coach, the child's role would be a player. With a counselor, it would be the counselee or someone needing direction. And then lastly, a consultant, the child's role would be a seeker, someone needing advice. What's interesting to me, though, is when we get to that phase of consultant, it's usually the child has already started building something of their own. They're most likely moved off to college, or they have a family of their own. So I told you guys I'm in the corporate world, right? So over my course of working in the corporate world, we've had several consultants come in to our workplace to kind of assess and see how things go. Are we doing things efficiently? But that role, the child's role in a consultant type of parenting usually has something of their own already. They already have their own family, and they're just needing some direction, some advice from someone else. So we walk a tightrope of honor with our parents. It's anchored on one side at birth when we have to submit to authority, and on the other side, it's anchored for caring for our parents who are getting older. And in the middle of these two extremes, these two opposites, we walk a balance and almost a dance between our parents' authority, because my parents still have authority over me, and our own agenda, what I want to do in my own life. They can't tell me what to do all the time, but there's times when they tell me what to do and I do it. Each side of the tightrope is anchored in opposites. On one end, you have innocence, and on the other end, you have wisdom. On one end is inexperience, and on the other is experience. Age, or youth and age. So today we're going to talk about four reasons why honor is so important, why we honor our parents. So point number one, reason number one, God commands honor. Honor is important because God commands honor. When you look at the Ten Commandments, let's start there. So the first three commandments, really just, it's God setting who He is in our life. It's Him saying, okay, I'm establishing my authority. The first one is, I am the Lord your God. So He's telling us, it's me. I am it. The second one, He says, you'll not have any other God before me. And then it's almost a warning that comes after that. He says, I'm a jealous God, and if you have other gods, if you put other things before me, that's going to affect you, and it's going to affect your family all the way three and four generations down the road. So it's very important that He is God and that we have no other gods before Him. And then His third commandment is that don't take my name in vain. My name is holy. My name is righteous. Don't just speak of it flippantly. When you speak my name, speak it with reverence and honor. So He takes three commandments and He establishes it. He establishes Himself. And then He moves on down the list of order in our life. And the very first thing after He sets Himself is He says, honor your mother and your father. Period. It doesn't say honor your mother and father, but here's an exception. It doesn't say honor your mother and father unless this happens. It says honor your mother and your father, and then it comes with a promise. It comes with a promise. So right after that, in Exodus 20:12, it says honor your mother and father so that your days may be long in the land. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God has given you. So He's saying, if you do this, this is what will happen. Unlike the first one where He gave us a, if this happens, that was almost a warning when He was talking about not having any other gods before me. That was a warning. This is a promise. If you do this, good things happen. Not if you do this, bad things happen. This is a good thing. And it's the first commandment that He gives us with a promise. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. My child, never forget these things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. How many, if you want your child to remember something, if you write something down and wrap it around their neck, they're going to remember it, right? Write them deep in your heart so that you will find favor and good success. So all over the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, the Bible is clearly speaking about the importance of honoring our mother and our father. And again, if you don't have a biological mother and father, honor the person who raised you, your step-parents, whoever it is, honor those people who have authority over your life, who are a little farther down the tightrope than you. Point two, We honor God when we honor our parents. We're honoring Him when we choose to honor them. 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 through 4. Take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her, but if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents for taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. So if you have elderly parents, if you have elderly grandparents, if they're still alive, praise God for that. But it's your obligation to take care of them. And I know that looks like a bunch of different things. I do know that looks like different things. We're not all doctors and clinicians and nurses. So, you know, sometimes it can't work out that way. But we are to take care of those ahead of us on the tightrope. My mom has always joked and said, "Don't you guys dare put me in a nursing home." And we won't. That's her wish. But there's times when she does something and she gets feisty or something, and we're like, "You're going to go to a nursing home. If you keep that up, you're going to a nursing home." But it's our responsibility to take care of our parents, and honoring our parents will keep us close to God. And just like being a parent is difficult, honoring sometimes and obeying can also be difficult. Because both parents and children are just human. We make mistakes. It's not always easy to honor. It's not always a cookie cutter situation. Honor sometimes is the last thing you want to do. How do you do it? You do it. I've listened to another pastor talk about this. How do you do tough stuff like honoring people or honoring people who are unhonorable? You just do it. You pray for wisdom and you do it. You guys want to know the key to being a good tightrope walker? Is you keep your eyes up. Always stay focused on the Lord. Don't look down. Don't focus on the negativity in your life. Don't focus on things that aren't right. You keep your head up. You look up. Point number three. When we choose honor in our life and we choose to honor those around us and our parents and we teach it to our children, our parents benefit. Our parents benefit when we honor. 1 Timothy 5 verses 8 says, "But those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." Ouch, that stings. That stings. So if you profess Christ and you're a Christian and you live this lifestyle and this life, but you don't choose honor, you're not honoring your parents. It's saying you're on the naughty list underneath the unbelievers. I don't want to be on that list under the unbelievers. I don't want to be on that list at all. So Melissa and I, we've been married for about 15 years, almost 16 now. But 15 years ago, we had all of our grandparents, all 8 of our grandparents still here. And that's a blessing in and itself. And 15 years later, the majority of them have gone on to be with the Lord. Granny Mae's the last one. I pray God gives her another 20, 25 years on us. And she's in great health, and we're thankful for her every day. But Melissa and I had a front row seat at watching our parents step up into the role where they were caretakers for their parents. We got to watch it firsthand, and especially when we were married, we built a house beside my in-laws, beside Melissa's parents. And we got to watch firsthand, specifically Melissa's mother, take care of her 2 elderly parents. It went from where they lived on their own and they could support themselves to needing help, so they were moved into the home or right beside the home so she'd have easy access to them. But I watched my mother-in-law for about 3 years or so take her life and set it aside, her priorities and the things that she enjoyed in her life. She set those aside. Maybe it was trips she wanted to take. Maybe it was going out for dinner with friends. But she took that time and she did it gladly. She didn't do it reluctantly. She did it with honor and with grace. And she loved her parents to the end. And it was wonderful for Melissa and I to watch that happen until the very end. That's honor. And she probably also did it so she could show us how to do it. All right, when I'm this age, this is what you do. Don't put me in a nursing home. So we've got to watch that firsthand of what that looks like. It's our job and it's our biblical instruction to care for those older members of our family. Walking a tightrope of honor ensures that we are taken care of. That's the way it works. We show those behind us how to do it. And it all falls out of whack and out of order, and it's chaos when it doesn't happen that way. It's interesting to me that the relationship between a child and their parent, how it evolves and it changes and it almost becomes opposite over time. So 3/4 generally of the relationship, it's the parent directing the child. Early on, it's instructing, don't do that, don't eat this, don't put that in your mouth, don't date that guy, don't date that girl, be careful here, make sure you don't go to that party, where do you want to go to college, let's figure this out. It evolves over time. This is how you feed the baby. They've got colic, let me show you what to do. They're not sleeping tonight. Let me help out. It evolves over time. And then the back forth of the relationship, it's generally the child caring for their parent. The roles reverse almost. Point number 4, when you choose honor, you benefit in your own personal life. You benefit when you choose to honor your parents. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your mother and father. Isn't it interesting this just keeps coming up? Honor your mother and father. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I don't know about you guys, but I've never met anybody that says, I want to live a long, busted up, miserable life. I've never met a single person that said that. I've met people who have lived those lives. But I've never met anybody that said, I want to live this type of life. No, I want to live a nice, long, successful life, but I want it to be a good life. And the Bible says that if you choose honor, if you honor your mother and your father, you will have a good, long, successful life. Things will go well for you. At the end of my day, when I draw my last breath, I want to look back and say, it went well for me. It went well for me. Not that I won't have challenges. Not that I won't face things. Medical emergencies. Sicknesses. Not that all those things are just a part of life and they're going to come. But in the general consensus, I want a life that has gone well for me. But do you guys see the opposite of that? Kids who think they can treat their parents any old way. I know we probably all know people where things haven't went well for other people, but looking back, my sister and I, we were raised by awesome parents. I'm so thankful for my parents. Man, they just did a standout job. I'm so thankful for them. And the odds were stacked against them. They married very early. I won't tell you how old they were, but they were teenagers, very early teenagers. Hadn't finished high school yet. They chose to forego finishing school to get jobs because they were married and they needed their own place. And so odds were stacked against my parents. And statistics say they shouldn't even be together today. But I'm thankful that they are. And I think that things have gone well for my parents because they learned the concepts of honor early on in their lives. I have spent my entire life watching my parents honor their parents. I've watched my mother just adore her mother and her father. It's been wonderful to watch and see mom put her first or include her in almost everything that we've ever done. And things have gone well for my dad because from an early age, he honored his parents and things went well for him. Same with Melissa's parents, just very honorable people. So thankful for the family that we both have. And it's been a good thing. But have you guys ever seen a set of siblings who have grown up? They come from the same house, same parents. They ate the same thing. They went to the same schools. But now that they're older, things have just... And I'm not even necessarily talking about jobs and like levels of success that way. I'm not even talking about that or if one's rich, one's poor. But have you ever seen people where things have just gone well for one and the other just seems to struggle and just has a difficult time and things just hasn't gone well for them? I truly believe that is because one learned the concept of honor and the other didn't. It's a very dangerous thing when we choose to forgo honor. If it's not taught to our children at a very young age, we are being dangerous with our children when they learn to buck authority in the family and out of family. And as you get older, if you buck authority at your work and with your job, it's a very dangerous thing to never learn to submit to authority and to give honor where honor's due. The consequences of dishonoring authority increase as we get older. Usually, I think of a late teen guy who thinks he knows it all, who doesn't submit well to authority, who wants to fight at every turn. Usually what I think, the only thing that will ever get to him is either jail or the military. Is usually what changes one like that. But we have to, as parents, listen, train your children to submit to authority. They need to submit to you. They need to submit to their teachers, their principals. They need to know that things can't go their way all the time because that's just not how life goes. We need to teach honor on the rope. If those of us who are midway on the rope, we need to make sure we're turning around long enough to teach honor to our children so that they've got it down pressed when they get to our age. Because things go well for a person who knows and practices honor. When you choose to have honor in your life, it's a win-win-win situation. It's a win for God. It's a win for your parents. It's a win for you. Students, listen to me really quick. You want more freedom? Choose to honor your parents. If you want more flexibility, if you want more things to do, choose honor. Because if you choose to be dishonoring, if you choose to be sneaky and to hide things, that's the opposite of honor. When you choose those things, you don't get freedom. You want more flexibility and freedom? Show your parents honor. Show your parents honor. So what about tough situations? I know I told you guys about my family life. I know I had great parents. I did. They weren't perfect by any means, but they were pretty close. They did a great job. And I know that's not everyone's case. I know everyone's situation is different and things aren't perfect. I know that's not the case. So what do you do when your parent is an unbeliever and they're asking you to do something that's dishonoring or you know is immoral or unethical and goes against your faith? What do you do there? Well, Ephesians 6 and 1, back to that verse, says, honor your parents in the Lord or because of the Lord. So if your parents are telling you to do something immoral. It's impossible to do something wrong in the name of the Lord. So you have to have wisdom there. And certainly the Lord precedes and trumps something that your parents would tell you to do that's not something you should do. Honoring your parents is within the constraints of your parents being rational and sane and providing their necessary role. If they should be operating in a role where they have your best interest at heart. If parents step out of that role that God's called them to, you're not expected to follow that. Teenagers, just because you don't like something your parents tell you to do, choose honor and honor them. That's not what I'm talking about here. There's going to be times you have to submit your will and your authority to them, and it's something that you don't want to do or you wouldn't do on your own. But let's honor our parents. What about step-parents? Well, thank God for step-parents. Thank God for step-parents. You know, we've got friends that over the course of time they've gotten divorced and they've remarried and they're in situations where they have step-children now. And I've seen it go really well, and I've seen it go really bad. So if you're in situations where you're dealing with step-parents, or you have a step-parent, or you're a parent and you're dealing with step-parents in whatever capacity, do your absolute best to make that work, because when you don't, you sabotage yourself and you trounce and pounce on the word honor. You have to find a way to make things work. So I'm thankful for step-parents that have stepped into kids' lives and have been a true godsend. And I'm thankful, I know I was telling you guys about my family, I'm thankful that God always has another plan for us. When things don't go well, if someone gets stripped out of your life, I'm thankful that God puts people there. I'm thankful that God brings and does what is best for all our interests. Man, He always makes all things new. That's my favorite thing to say about God. He always makes things new, and He always has another plan, even if it's not the first plan. He has something else for you. He can fill a void very quickly, and only like He can. Well, what if your parents want you to take a path that's different, one that you disagree with? Well, it gets sticky when you're moving into college age. It gets sticky around that time, because if you want your own authority and you want your own means, well, then you need to be your own person. But if you can't pick and choose, if you're still living at home, you absolutely still have to honor your parents. Honor their wishes. If you don't like it, then find another way. Problem is that many adults want freedom, but they don't want to take on responsibility of life and the commitments that come with it. Basically, if you want your own path, then you've got to grow up and you've got to take it. You want to freeload off your parents? That requires you being completely submissive to those parents at whatever age. If you're 30 and you're living at home and they want you in by 10, suck it up and get home by 10. So in closing, Luke 2:52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus increased. The older He got, He increased with wisdom and stature with both God and those around Him. But the verse right before that says, and He went down with them, talking about His parents. He went down with them and He came to Nazareth and was submissive to His parents. See, Jesus, even Jesus, the most perfect being ever, the most perfect human, He recognized the foundational biblical truth of honor in His life. He could have done anything He wanted. He was God. But he chose to submit himself to his parents' authority. So if Jesus did it, I think we all should do it, right? I think we all should do it. If we want things to go well for you, if you want things to go well for you, you've got to implement a system of honoring in your life. And here's the thing with this, these things. If you've lived your life and you're saying, well, I never implemented this when my children were small and they're grown and it's too late for me, it's never too late to start digging in and planting those foundational truths of the Bible like honor. You're at no point, it doesn't matter if you're 80 years old, and you've never submitted to authority or you've never implemented honor in your life, it's not too late to start now. It's never too late to start honoring. But when you have a system of honor in your life, you will have a good life and things will go well for you. We need to implement a system of honoring for those who have authority over us, parents, step-parents, grandparents, anybody with authority over you, and anybody who is an authority figure in your life. If you're at work and you hate your job, I got to tell you, I just recently came out of a situation at my job where I spent a couple years, and you know, I've always done really well with my bosses, and we've always had great relationships, but something this past position that I was in just didn't work, and I had a hard time with just connecting with my boss. And honestly, I just chalk it up to he didn't like me, and that's okay. He doesn't like me, it's fine. But I found myself in a position where, and I had to catch myself and go back and repent several times, where I just had such animosity toward him. But the truth is, he was an authority figure in my life, and whether I liked him or not, in that role, I had to respect him. If I went into a meeting with him and other people, I had, regardless of how I felt inside and what I truly wanted to say to this guy, I had to honor him and pray, God, change me or change him or move me. And God recently did move me. So even when it's hard, we have to implement honor in our life. It's not cookie cutter. I know by all means life is tricky and it's crazy and it happens and it's not perfect. We have to make the best of it, and we have to control what we can control, and you can control honoring someone and authority above you and showing honor to those behind you on the tightrope. If the praise team would come, or if the music would come, I want to pray for you guys today. If our prayer team would come to the front. I'll go ahead and say, if you have felt like a prick today, if you feel like, you know, you may not know Jesus and you need prayer and you want a life that we're talking about, any one of these guys you can come and you can pray with, and they will give you advice and they'll talk to you and pray with you. But I also want to pray today for anybody who maybe your life just feels like it's in shambles, or you've not done a great job of honoring those in front of you. Maybe you even feel like it's too late. Maybe your parents are gone. Honor's just not something you ever really just set for yourself. I'm here to tell you, it's never too late. God can do a multitude of things in your life. He can do a lot in a little bit of time.